labels on products specific to Florida product approvals, which I think is pretty unpopular among a lot of product manufacturers. So I'm kind of teetering on this one, I guess, for that one and only reason, though.
Okay, but it is, of course, specific to this product, which was part of the thing. Go ahead.
I would just remind Craig that this was recommendations of the work group, specifically codified by Mr. Belcher.
I was drafted to write it. I was on the work group, but
right. Which work group?
The window and door labeling, garage door labeling work group.
Garage door and shutter.
I'm sorry, garage door and shutter labeling work group.
Yeah, that work group is a commission work group with commissioners on it, and it was delivered consensus recommendations to the commission.
And they were accepted, right?
Right. So this, the idea was to put in, to put this into the code as the commission's intent. That was the basis for it.
What they had asked, Craig, is a member of those work groups to actually submit the code change so staff wouldn't have to do it.
Yes. I know that, Jack, and okay. I appreciate you bringing it up. But like I said, my only concern was the precedent this would set for other products that are out there where those industries or the other products have always opposed this. But I'm going to support it, Mr. Chairman.
All right, good.
The second question is on we're taking up 81 and 82 both, right?
Right, because it's building and residential.
Does this comment transfer to the residential code as well? Just renumbered?
Correct.
You did not submit a renumber.
No, there's no renumber because it was correct in the residential. It was
it's
the correct number.
Correct in residential.
Right.
So.
But it's the same language.
But we end up with 81 and 82 having the same language in each of the codes.
Correct.
Thank you.
George?
I have some minor wording change recommendations for clearer reading on... Under 1714.8, point two.
You just passed it. You were already on it. Go back.
Number two, item number two. That's not the one. Why isn't that? That's different than the one.
That's because.
Okay, that's the one. On that item, I would recommend removing, striking may. And
well, let him say it first before we what in doing what in.
Well, several striking may and adding after but removing the adding the word are after and striking b. So it would read approval include but not limited to. It would say methods of approval include, but are not limited to.
You took the but out.
I did?
Well, there's two, but are, and add the word are right there.
Correct. I guess you would leave. Methods of approval include, but are not limited to. Yeah.
You would.
What'd you say, Charlie?
Take the comma out.
Yeah.
Right.
That would go as well.
And then there's and then another one, or 1718.4, installation. At the very end. It's at the very end. Of, or
you got to scroll the other direction.
It's down, 1718.4, installation.
There.
All right, the second to the last line, after a accordance with, add the word with. That's it.
All right.
As an amendment.
Those are friendly?
Yes, no problem.
All right.
Could I take one moment to address Mr. Gaskin's concern? Just one moment? No? Don't need to? Okay.
You'll be fine. Jack?
Well, I'm now looking at 282, and our 1614.4.4 does not read the same as 1718.4 in the comment handed out. You can't make the corrections that George wanted made because the language is different.
It shouldn't.
I think the appropriate thing, if you'll take another amendment, the appropriate thing would be to take the language in comment two delivered, public comment two just delivered, that we are modifying, number it to work with R614, and substitute the language in its entirety so that the two documents read the same. Is that all right?
I agree with that. Would you like me to submit that as a second public comment in the second period, or you want to just do that today? How do you want to do that?
I think it would be better just to go ahead and vote for it and make a comment on it. Okay. Sounds like it would be kind of hard to do right now, technically. But go ahead and, Jack, would you just repeat what you said again? Your proposal is take the language from the residential.
Take the language from what is known as 2681 public comment 2 by proponent.
Mm-hmm.
Number it to work in R614 of the residential volume and use the same language.
One second. Need your motion.
Okay. Go ahead.
Joe, could you respond to Jamie's concerns? Because I have similar concerns.
What Jamie said is absolutely correct. Anything that you substitute, if you had a panel you were going to substitute for, it would have to have been tested in the same manner. I mean, it's not that you can just go out and willy-nilly substitute. It has to have been something that's been tested. So if somebody wanted to go in, maybe perhaps they wanted to have some options on that, they could test them all at the same time, and they could do that.
So the intent of it is a manufacturer could get an engineer to take some test data and to substitute a component, and as long as the manufacturer accepts that, a third-party engineer or any engineer that's not part of or could be or might not be part of the original product approval can take some information and say, this component is deemed to be equivalent to that, and the manufacturer can accept that and swap it out. Is that the intent? Or could that be done under this code change?
Okay. Before you say something, I'll get you in a second. Betty, just so you know, it's to actually what the the comment you want to the language you want to capture there is to take the language from public comment number two and incorporate it into R614.
Yeah. So as modified by the TAC.
Right.
Also, what about why not really? We have mod number 2682, which is on section R614.
We're talking about those together.
We need to amend 2682. What does we see saying?
That's what I just said. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
With the language from.
From this. Yes. Correct. We can do that. No problem.
Okay, Jamie.
I was going to say. In response to that comment, I think the last part of that sentence addressed my concern by referencing that the tests are in accordance with approved test standards and demonstrated as such. I think that may serve to address my concern of earlier.
Okay. Anybody else have any discussion? Okay. All in favor of the proposed amendment 2681 and 2682 as we modified it, understanding we're using public comment number two, and as amended by the TAC, including and then using the proper numeration in the residential volume, respectively. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay. Thank you. Next, we go to number 2660 and 2662, amending 1609.4 and R301.2.1.4, building and residential volume, respectively.
Eric Stafford, Institute for Business and Home Safety. I have a modification to this proposal. I assume I can pass out to the committee.
That's the one you already gave me. It's only a computer, Jared.
Thank God I was mine. I'm going to have to get started on this one.
Okay, all in favor of denial?
I got it.
still works. Hey.
Motion to impeach.
I think that's the second laptop I've knocked off today.
Thank God it wasn't mine. I would have been really mad.
Leave it to the professionals.
I'm unplugging
totally
mine
confused.
Now.
I had to leave because they were discussing this.
Okay. You ready? From Jeff?
Yes, we're ready for you, Eric.
Okay. This proposal is doing a couple of things, and the reason for the modification today is my failure to look at the 2007 supplement, and I made an assumption that since there were changes to the exposure categories that the ones in the Florida Building Code would be carried forward, when in fact the only one that was carried forward was the definition for exposure category C as matched up with the 2006 IBC. Now, what we've done here is consistent with what's in IBC and ASC 7 in that when we deal with exposure categories, now it's more or less a two-step process. You define what you determine what the surface roughness is, whether it's B, C, or D, and then once you have identified what your surface roughness is, then you determine what the exposure category is based on the upwind distance of that, how far that surface category acts. So that's really the first part of this is correlating what's in the Florida Code now with what's in the 2006 IBC, because it's very confusing and doesn't work well together the way it's written right now, unmodified altogether. So I've gone in and made those changes to correlate it. Now, we had a meeting yesterday. It was just kind of wasn't an official meeting or anything, just kind of a get-together with a bunch of people with concerns over the overexposure categories and the current confusion over how some of them are written. So what I've done here is, based on some of that discussion yesterday, clarified some of those things. And partially the change that I had originally submitted did that as well. With the 2006 supplement, the TAC and the Commission approved a change two of them. One that dealt with higher exposure category for open patches, for large open patches within exposure B terrain. The second one dealt with the fact that we're now going to include inland bodies of water as an exposure D category. Okay? There was, there was some confusion about where exposure C starts or stops in relation to the coast and exposure D stops. And that's what I've added in here. And this was also agreed to yesterday amongst the people that were there, that basically 1,500 feet from the mean high tide line or the coastal construction control line, from that point forward, if you're over an open body of water with wind flowing for a mile or more, then you're considered to be exposure category D. Still use exposure C category for the coastal areas or coastal, what we're calling ocean or Gulf shorelines. And also, we've included, if you'll scroll down just a little bit, modified the section dealing with these open patches. And what I've included here is a change that's consistent with what's in the commentary to ASC 7, okay, where it you look at it without going into too much detail. What's written up there pretty much captures how the commentary addresses these open patches. After we had talked yesterday, and there were some pretty smart people in the room yesterday. Tim was there. Peter Vickery. We've done a lot of work with these exposures. Charlie was there, and a number of other people. We believe that that's a little bit, what's in the commentary is a little bit unrealistic, and so we're hoping that you'll approve this change as written, recognizing that we're going to do some more work. We're going to include. We didn't get a chance to talk with Jack about this yesterday. We're going to talk with him some more about this with the FHBA, about the open patch, and some others that were also have some interest in this. So we will be submitting a public comment to correct that part. The rest of it more or less correlates the definition you approved for the 2006 supplement with what's in the 2006 IBC in relation to exposure categories and surface roughness.
Okay, does anybody, hold on. Anybody else want to speak in favor? We'll get to the TAC in a second. And you can ask questions too, so don't worry.
Yes, Jim Schock, Duval County. The meeting that Eric was referring to was sponsored by the First Coast Chapter, and the First Coast Chapter supports these changes, realizing that there is some additional work that could be done on it.
Okay. Anybody else?
Joe Belcher, speaking in favor.
Anybody else? Come on, guys. Work it out. Let's go.
BOAF also supports it.
Jeffrey Stone, American Forest and Paper Association. I'm going to give some left-handed support for this in order to submit a public comment, hopefully, with IBHS in the future. First of all, we think that the proposal, as was originally published, I haven't seen this modification, is really a little bit overkill. For purposes, for practical purposes, it's going to make the entire state C or D, and really that was never the intent of ASC 7. It's going to have tremendous cost impact as is presently written or as was written in the original proposal. Oh, and we know that through experience, buildings properly designed and constructed have shown to be quite hurricane resistant, really perform excellent in the last 10 years. We've made tremendous improvements in the last 10 years. We think that this proposal is ignoring it, but we think we can fine-tune it to make it that way. It should be noted that the ASC Wind Committee, in adopting ASC 7, did not intend for Exposure D to be included in the hurricane-prone regions. A lot of this came from, as Eric said, from the commentary. The commentary has not been gone through the vetting process of the standard. We think, we believe, that it will eventually get there. It's on its way there, but it's not there yet. We believe in the use of a recognized national standard that was developed through a consensus process. So since the insurance industry has discovered specific problems that need to be addressed, we and other interested parties, and I imagine AISI will be with us, will work with IBHS to develop a reasonable, cost-effective proposal through submittal of a public comment. We worked with IBHS in the past. We're working with them presently on some projects to improve hurricane-resistant construction. So, in short, we're saying at least approve this right now, maybe the amendment as Eric has proposed, recognizing that we will be working with IBHS to submit a code change, a public comment. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else want to speak in favor? Anybody want to speak against? Seeing none, is there a motion for approval? A second for approval purposes?
Second.
Second. Discussion? George?
Eric, I have some questions on some of the terminology in here. First of all, the handout here where it talks about surface roughness, C, is this in the, I see it's 1609.4, is this in the definition section?
No, it's actually in 1609.4. 4.2, I believe.
Okay, because that's missing on our sheet here.
Yeah, I just copied the it's in
okay.
The
okay.
You see it?
Okay.
Is that right? Section
all right.
Okay.
Under item number 3 on your handout, exposure C and all the underlying terminology you added. Where did the numbers? Well, words such as patches. 660 feet, 2160, 164 feet. I mean, are these? Have you defined patches? I mean, has that appeared before and had a, you know, specific use? Now, previously, it talks about open country, grasslands, things like that, and then all of a sudden, the word patches appears.
Yes, Jordan, it's defined in the following sentence. On down from there, I think two or three lines down, and it says to be considered an open patch, the opening shall have a length in the upwind direction greater than 160 feet,
okay.
From width greater than.
Okay. And what about the specific number cited for upwind direction, 660 feet? Where did that number come from?
That's out of the commentary
that's
to ASC 7. Well, and let me just
all these numbers are.
Yeah, and they're not written exactly like this. But it'd be very complicated to write it like it's because it's shown it's written and it's depicted in an illustration to show you what what we're trying to do, and all that does is simplifies it and which and it accomplishes the same result. Cause
so these specific numbers, 660, 2160, 164,
mm-hmm.
are all?
Those are all conversions.
Yeah, now if you look in the commentary, you won't see the 660. I mean, you will, but not written in the same context here. I've tried to simplify it. Cause
well,
it's
I see 182.9 meters. So that's even that. I mean, that's a how in the world they get an odd number like that?
I didn't pay attention to the metric. I'm sure it's just a conversion. I don't know if that's right or not. I'd have to.
Well,
have to
and
look
then
at
in the struck out area, you got 182.9, meaning 600 feet. In this version, it says 660 feet.
Yeah, like I said, that's a conversion that. It should be able to be editorially, you know, corrected because we use the English units and then make a
yeah. Which one is correct? 660 or 600?
The 660.
Okay. So those were all reflected in the ASCE commentary.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. What it does is it requires you to basically add up these aggregate lengths of open patches. So if you had if it's less than 164 feet, it wouldn't even be considered an open patch. It has to be at least that width to be considered an open patch. And if you have an aggregate length of those of 164 feet or greater that equal up to 660 feet or more, then it has an effect on the exposure category determination.
All right, okay. Charlie? And,
yeah, I think that the 660 feet was supposed to be because it's explicitly in the text of ASCE 7, and I think the parenthetical accompanying that says 200 meters.
Okay.
But I think that those inconsistencies can easily just be worked out as a non-substantive text amendment. But I think that the open patch definition, that certainly the implications of it is that it's a square, 164 by 164, and I don't know where that 98 feet that you've got comes from, but I believe that 98 should be 164.
That's right, Charlie. We talked about that yesterday, and I put that together, you know.
Okay. All right, Doe.
Eric, I applaud you and Tim and everyone else working on this. I'll support this modification, but I do have a couple of comments. You know, I echo the comments that Dr. Stone made that the stuff that's in the commentary 7 is in the commentary for a reason, and some of this commentary has been in there for a while. The reason, in my opinion, it doesn't make it into the body of ASCE 7 is because practitioners. I mean, they got a couple of practicing engineers here that use ASC 7. This is a mess. Okay? This is impractical. What you're going to find in over the next year is everyone's going to be going C, period. And, over the short term, it'd make life a lot easier if we just say everything is exposure C in Florida, because this is not practical. But I will support it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I agree it's not practical. The 98 feet bothers me. It bothers me because if you look at a residential development, the distance between houses on either side of the street is based off of, let's say, 25-foot front setback is going to be about 90 to 100 feet. Therefore, this 98 feet is going to cause everything to be exposure C. That's what it's going to do.
Charlie?
With regards to an earlier comment also that ASCE 7 committee did not intend this to apply to inland bodies of water and hurricane region, I was present for all of those meetings, and that's not consistent with my memory of it, but that's a difference of opinion of that quote. But I would like to offer an amendment to for exactly the reason that's just been stated, to change that 98 to 164, and also to amend, to accept the 660 as the correct number, and if you want to supply the metric is whatever is consistent with that number in feet.
Okay. All right, so there's been a proposed amendment, which is to use the 660 as the number and to replace the 98 with 164. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Any discussion on the amendment only? Eric?
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with Charlie there. And again, I mean, I just recall why the 98 has to do, why the 98 feet has to do with when you're looking in the 45-degree sectors and how much of the open patch in those sectors and trying to simplify it. And this is a very complicated, I agree totally with you. And, you know, we just want to, the amendment to be approved because we want to be able to, we're going to work on this. We spent, what, 5 hours or 6 hours talking about this yesterday.
Okay.
And we know this is not workable. But right. We do intend to.
Just on the amendment, which is what Charlie proposed, that's all we're going to discuss. We'll vote that, then we'll go back to the amendment. Okay, all in favor? Oh, sorry, Jack.
I'm probably the only one here that has a real concern, at least on the committee, has a real concern with the cost. As has been stated by a number of people, including the chairman, we effectively are making the entire state of Florida exposure C. None of these proposals have made any effort whatsoever to identify what the cost impact is on construction. I think it will be significant, and I just would like it delineated so that when this proposal passes, it is clear what cost they're adding to homes.
Okay. Okay, so just voting on the amendment, which is the change using the 660 and the 164. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Okay, going back to the proposal as it's been amended, further discussion. George.
Eric, on the sentence that where you're explaining open patch, it says to be considered open patch, and it says the word the opening. Of course, in most terminology in the code, we know what openings are, you know, usually think of window openings or openings into buildings and stuff like that. Perhaps you should restate, you know, to be considered an open patch.
The open area.
The open patch shall have length in
open
the
area.
Or the open area. So I would recommend an amendment instead of repeating, instead of having opening, say the open area.
Actually, it's down here.
Yeah, the next one.
Right
next
there.
One down, yeah.
You move the opening. Should be strike opening.
You want a second on that? I'll second it.
And you want to replace it with open area? And replace it, use the word open area.
I would make that as an amendment.
Second.
Okay. All in favor of this amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Unanimous. Okay, going back to the proposal as amended is amended. Charlie.
Yeah, to be consistent, I think that when we're talking, that area that we're talking about, we ought to use the same words because we're referring to the same thing every time. And if you're going to say open area there, say open area where it says open patches. Yeah. Because when you word it different, somebody says, oh, those are different.
That's probably a good idea. Everybody seems to be having trouble with the word patch.
Yeah. All right, so the other...
Yeah, make it plural.
Other changes where the word open patches appear, change it to open area.
Jeff, it's editorial, but 182.9 should be 200 meters.
Where's
conversion
that?
Conversion from 660 feet. The 182.9 and 660 is 200 meters.
Where's that? Right there?
Yeah. You got 660?
That should be 200 meters.
That's 600 feet. Yeah, right. 660 is 200 meters.
Right here? Just don't even bother with the strike. Just go right here.
Just change the 182.9.
Change 182.9 to 600.
To 200.
I'm sorry, 200. It's just a wrong, it's not a, don't even worry about it. Don't strike it, just delete it. It's not, it's only, it's a miscalculation. It's not substantive. Okay.
Right there.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the only place it was.
Any other amendments? Okay. All in favor of the proposal as it's been wordsmithed? Say, over, raise your hands. One, two, three, four, five, six in favor. All opposed? 6-2.
Jeff, I would like the record to reflect that it's because of the cost, the lack of cost information.
Okay. Please note that one member voted against it due to the lack of cost, the lack of fiscal impact.
I'd like to also echo that and add that my reason for opposing it is because the definition in the code now, which is problematic, was something that was put together at a very last minute
conversion
meeting, and it appears this one here is similar to that put together at the last minute, and therefore, I feel like this is going to be also problematic like the last one was because of that reason.
Exposure summit.
Yes, sure.
Eric, we look forward, we're going to have a structural tack workshop on this, so we look forward to seeing those comments and changes.
All right. Next is 2116 and 2118, amending 1618.4.6.4 and R4403.7.3.6, building and residential sections. Jamie?
Yeah, I presented this code modification in light of a lot of the failures that we experienced post the last two hurricane seasons. This has to do with the use of balcony railings and the particular designs that are being very popularly used, that they're substituting the posts with glass. I don't think the intent of the code as it reads has ever contemplated that particular design. And the experience that we've had is that once these glass railings were impacted, even with small missile debris, they no longer supported the top handrail and therefore exposed these balconies to unsafe situations post hurricane. Glass fell out, handrail went with it. So this code modification is not disallowing the design of those particular railings, but rather establishes what additional testing would be required to prove that in the event that these are impacted, that rail is still going to remain there as a safeguard.
Okay, does anybody else want to speak in favor? Or against from the public? Seeing none, is there a second for approval?
Second.
Discussion? Doe, and then Craig, and then Dan.
Question to you, Jamie. Are you telling me that there are actually designers out there designing guardrail without any posts, where the glass baluster traverses 20, 30 feet?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Craig?
Yes.
Shake you up.
Okay. Clarification from the proponent through the chair. I assume that you're referring to only exterior railings here?
Yes, that's the intent.
Because it could be interpreted as all railings. So I would recommend that we put in something that makes it clear, let's say, that exterior railings that receive positive pressure, some sort of language like that. I could definitely see where someone's going to enforce this on interior railings.
So would you put something like four exterior railings?
I'm not going to recommend anything. I'm going to ask the proponent to do it.
Let me ask you, Jamie. Let me ask you. I mean, would it not be applicable to inside railings if the glass gets broken for some reason? That's not a concern.
No. in the interior applications, it's already covered by the paragraph above where it's requiring the NCC 97.1. This specifically has to do with, I mean, the glass withstands this NCC 97.1 test, but then it's when it's impacted with debris that it no longer is there to resist anything else.
Okay.
I accept that comment. I'm not really sure or would want to wordsmith it now, but you know, if I guess we could start it with railings in the exterior or something.
Yeah, I don't think what you added there is really the right way to do it.
No.
That language there needs to go away. You want to? Well, Dan has hand it first, so I'll get Dan, then you. Go ahead. Actually, that's not where you want to do it. Take that out. It says that word there.
With glass.
Right there. Take that word for and replace it with with. That, Jamie, is that friendly to you?
Yeah. All right. My English teacher will be really upset at me.
Well,
just don't plan to change it.
I think if you say if the posts that support the top rail of exterior railings are substituted with glass.
All right, right there, add of exterior railings.
Top that support the top rail of exterior railings.
Just add of exterior railings.
Yeah, post,
there you
the
go.
Entire rail.
Since we're dealing with TAS 201, that would be appropriate because that's an impact requirement.
It's just okay. Adding a glazed railing
system. Jamie, is that a friendly?
Yes.
It doesn't make sense. I would say a glazed railing system, not just a post. You don't have
the post that supports top rail exterior railing. Okay, that's our substitute.
And one other, I'd like to make one other comment related to that if I can. I'd like to see that say where the impacted glass continues to support the rail, the top rail, and all applicable loads.
Actually, you need to move that. It's got to go on the other side of rail. The top rail.
Rail.
Put top right here where my pointer is.
Are you talking about entire glazed railing system?
Then go on
not
the other
just
side
a
of that.
I mean, I want you to say the entire glazed railing system.
Well, if this is a system, I have a little problem with the way a lot of these railings are designed. I've seen a tremendous amount of damage to buildings where the railings are just getting banged apart because of poor design. If you've got a glass railing system where the glass is supporting the top rail, if that glass is impacted to the point that it's broken, it should be able to not only support the top rail, but support the top rail and all the applicable loads as well. Not
right.
Just have it so that the top rail doesn't fall. If you say it that way, that's the way some people are going to interpret it. It needs to support the top rail along with all applicable loads after the impact of the
glass.
Jamie, is that a friendly or is that you want to take both that separately?
I like the idea, but it goes above and beyond what the justification that I provided for in this mod. Along those lines, I mean, it's somewhere similar to when we impact.
Okay, hold on. We'll have to consider, you'll have to make that as a proposed amendment to the thing, and we'll vote that separately. You want to add that in as an amendment?
I would.
Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on just the amendment, which is adding and all applicable loads? Just that. We're only going to discuss that, not the rest of it. We'll go back to that in a second. Okay. George, you want to discuss just the amendment?
Yes. I think you're not talking about glass posts. You're talking about a glass railing system. So the whole, you know, I mean, the whole term is misleading, I think, on what you're trying to accomplish here. You're talking about a glazed railing system that supports a top rail, but you're not talking about glass posts. Are you? I mean, you're going to have vertical posts up and down the... I mean, you're not going to have 20 feet of glass, are you?
I mean, are we talking about my modification or the modification that's on the floor?
We're only talking about the language and all applicable loads. We'll go back to other discussions in a moment. There's an amendment.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Huh?
Okay. All applicable loads?
Okay.
All applicable loads only. Any further discussion just on those three words? Jamie.
Okay.
On the applicable loads, the way I see it is that this is going to then require that after this impact that they perform the structural wind loads, that that rail system would be required, the NCZ 97.1 pendulum impact over again after it's been missile impacted. Is that the intent of that language?
Can I answer that?
Yes, you may.
I think
sure, amendment.
Yes, because for the railing system, the function of the railing system is to provide a safeguard so that a person doesn't go over the edge. And if you don't support the loads, then the safeguard is no longer effective. Glass is a uniquely different material than other materials, in the fact that once it fractures, it becomes somewhat useless. If you use safety glass, the laminate type safety glass, and it fractures, to what extent are you going to support that top rail? Because the top rail is going to be under a lateral load, which results in a moment and so forth. Depending on how that glass is, it could be virtually non-existent or totally useless. So I think the whole issue of glass railing systems is something that needs to be looked at in the future, because we found them to be very, very poor in performance during the recent hurricanes. But if we're going to say that we want to test them after the test, what use do they have if it fractures and there's no support for lateral load? I mean, that's not railing anymore. You might as well just say it's gone. The plastic can go away. It's not the same thing as a window, where a window can break it, but even in a window, it has to be able to resist breaching, and that's the whole point. When a window breaks, a laminate glass window, impact-resistant window, it still needs to resist breaching. Well, in this case, it's not a breaching issue, it's a safeguard issue.
Okay, so let's go ahead and vote
on just the amendment, and then we'll go back to our list. I've got three people on the discussion list. All right, all in favor of the amendment to the amendment, raise your hands. One, two, three.
I would support the additional.
All right, one, two, three, four. Okay, six. All opposed? Okay, so it's should be 7-1. 7-1, so that passes. Now, going back to the amendment as it's been amended, the list is Jack, George, and Charlie. In that order, they've been on the list for a long time. Jack, George, and Charlie. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, I wanted to make an amendment on the exterior railing, but since it's down there, I'll leave it where it is.
All right, George?
My question would be, which railing? Is this a guardrail or a handrail?
It's primarily a guardrail.
Then it needs to be defined. Because
it's in a section on railing.
And it is within that section.
That's the right
section
for it.
That's why I tried to put the language that appears in the code right before it.
Well, the reason I bring that up is handrails have a specific height requirement that are different from guardrails on the exterior. So is it adequately covered in 16.18.4 as to which railing it is?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Charlie.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to vote against this change under any circumstances, but I think we spent about 20 minutes wordsmithing a single sentence, and if we continue at this pace for the rest of this agenda, there's no way we're going to finish this week.
I agree with you.
I call the question.
All right. All in favor of the proposed amendment as amended, raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 2, 6-2. So that passes.
That's better.
All right, moving along. Actually, you know what? Here's the deal. The plumbing tech is joining this group at 1 o'clock, so we should go ahead and take lunch. We need to be back here at 1 o'clock. They're prepared to be here at exactly 1 o'clock, so we need to take a break, and hard as that is to believe.
Jeff, before you break, there is a MUD number 2662 was not clear how the committee decided to handle that. The language that we have in the 2006 International Building Code differ from what's in the International Building Code. There was no indication what to do with that MUD. I would advise that MUD be reconsidered and tabled, and have the proponents come back with the proposed changes to it based on MUD number.
We have to reconsider.
We don't have to reconsider. We didn't take action.
Did we take action?
I'm not sure. That's what I'm saying. What?
I think we took it as a companion.
No, we cannot do that because
we took it as a companion to 60. So
we cannot, because the language difference in the base codes. I think there's a lot to leave the staff to try to, you know, stifle through. So I would advise that will be reconsidered, table it, and allow the proponent to come back after lunch with the language that consistent with what you guys approved. It just would be best for him to look at what's in the residential code at this point.
Well, he's already left the room. I don't know if he can do it that quick.
He's available. Well, we have still all day. You can bring it up.
I was on the prevailing side, I guess. No, I wasn't. I voted against it. So.